Thanks, TJ. Welcome to the 40th Annual OK Region Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for attending our celebration of recovery in this workshop, in particular, about our NA symbol. We ask that during the workshop you please keep conversations to a minimum and please silence your phones. The OKRCNA 40 Committee also requests all NA members attending this convention be mindful that they may be the only contact a non-addict may have with the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship. The behavior we exhibit this weekend may long be remembered as a reflection of NA as a whole. Please remember we represent NA while attending this event. If you have any questions, please ask a committee member who are wearing orange name tags. And we'll start with an introduction of our workshop speakers. So we have Jamie H. And Susie W. And both of them have quite a lot of knowledge about the literature, and I know that certainly whenever they have something to say, I'm always listening. So, and which one of you would like to begin?
Jamie's starting.
Okay. I'm starting. That's awesome.
You were assigned.
That's fine. Thank you, Samantha. Sam, Samantha, whatever. I don't know what. Do you go by Samantha now?
I go by Sam.
Because I've always called you Sam, and I just. Sam, give me a second to invite God my understanding in here, and do with the time as you wish. You can pray, whatever. So, all right. My name is Jamie. I'm an addict. Man, thank you guys for coming. It's an honor to be asked to share in any Narcotics Anonymous event, meeting, so on and so forth. You know, the fact that somebody thought enough about my experience to ask me to come do this is so humbling. You know, I just celebrated 11 years clean on Wednesday night. Thank you. I am an addict who did not come in here and stay clean when I first got here, right? So if you have relapsed, you can, like me, learn how to live just for today, right? Not using drugs and continue to learn how to do that, right? What's crazy about it is I actually was not here in Tulsa when I got to celebrate. My work asked me to go to Houston, so I went to a meeting on Wednesday. I was recovery at work group in Houston. And, you know, we're talking about our symbol. And, you know, I wrote down some definitions. That's just kind of the way I roll now. When I first started learning about our symbol and stuff like that, it really helped me get closer to our literature, get closer to our program, and in touch with what I feel like my predecessors wanted me to see and feel and all the like. You know, a symbol is a mark or character used as a conventional representation of an object, function, or process, right? And I think when I hear a process, I think of the recovery process, right? And, you know, I can remember years back, we were with Buck, me and Ed, and we were going to High on Life at Bucksaw Point, and we of course went some fucking random way. If you've ever ridden with Buck, you didn't go the right, you went some kind of Buck way. It was God's way, really. We didn't go by the map, it was wild. And I remember feeling like we're in the middle of nowhere, and we went to make this turn, and I saw this circle and a square, and then it said HOLP, H-O-L-P, and that stood for High on Life Picnic. First of all, I thought to myself, that's fucking stupid. That's how judgmental I was. The first thing I thought was, that's a stupid way to say that. But anyway, but most importantly, I saw our symbol, and I just thought, okay, that's kind of cool. They're just telling us where to go, right? And subsequently saw more signs to get us to where we needed to be. Subsequently, Clean and Crazy, we were sure to put the signs up, right? At many groups around our city, state, region, all over the world, many you'll see our symbol outside the groups. I know at mine, Recovery at Work Group here in Tulsa, 8125 East 51st Street, Sweet G. We meet Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7 o'clock. Come see us. It's not shameless. I'm absolutely sharing who my hunger is. we have our symbol as well on both doors. So the feeling that I felt when I walked in, when I first saw, besides the judgmental, that's a stupid name, Hope, right? When I saw that our symbol, I just thought that was kind of cool, right? And the fact that I knew what it was, you know, it says here in the first paragraph, it says, you know, simplicity is the key to our symbol. It imitates the simplicity of our fellowship. First of all, let me step back. It says our symbol. Like it's already promoting unity with the word our. You know, we'll say the, but it specifically says our, right? And I like that because I'm a person who tries to do everything by myself, right? And I need to be a part of, I need to feel a part of, I need to act a part of, and all that. But it says all sorts of occult and esoteric connotations can be found in simple outlines, but first and foremost in the minds of the fellowship are the easily understood meanings in relationships. Now, when I think of a cult, the definition for a cult is beyond the range of ordinary knowledge or experience communicated only to the initiated. The fact that I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I see that we have this circle and a square, right? It's like I'm being communicated to. I'm being told, hey, this is Narcotics Anonymous. So, heck, we can even educate people with PR that if they see a circle and a square, that's Narcotics Anonymous. I think that's a cult. Some people may be driving along, sometimes I'm driving along and I see symbols on cars. I'm like, what in the world does that mean? And I'll try to Google it and shit. I'll take pictures of it because, I don't know, I'm just weird. When I went to the Highland Life Picnic in Clean and Crazy and other ones, I had that occult feeling, right? I knew what it was. It was kind of cool. It was like, okay, right on, right? Later on, esoteric means intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. We're talking about people that really are trying to learn about the disease concept and the recovery process. Right? We take it a little bit further. And this is, mind you, I'm no like professor or anything like that. This is just my perspective, what I've learned either from other people or shit I've made up in my own head. Right? But it works for me. And so, you know, once I started studying our symbol and looking up things and whatnot, I had the experience of driving to, we were in Fort Worth going to, I think it was the East Side, NA East. It was NA East. And I think they meet at like 10 o'clock or they met at 10 o'clock. And we were going down there. There was some kind of a convention or something, but there was a group of us that were going to NA East that night. And I didn't know where the fuck it was, man. It was in an industrial park, and kind of in the shady area of Fort Worth, whatever. And I pull around a corner. Yeah, I saw a bunch of cars, but I knew where I was, right? As soon as I pull up and there's a spot and I look on the door, there's our symbol. And in that moment, I felt safe. In that moment, I felt like I'm home. In that moment, I knew I was going to be greeted by people who wanted me there, regardless of how I've treated people in the past, regardless of .. There's the difference between occult and esoteric. How I felt when I saw our symbol on the outside the meeting that night. I can't remember if it was on the door or if it was above the whatever, but I just know that I've experienced that many, many times over since, right? And what a wonderful thing to feel like you're a part of something, to feel like you're home. I mean, I see that sign that says "Welcome Home." What a wonderful thing to feel safe. God, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, there's and so I start to think about and our the topic says ellipsis, .. right? appointed for you. So that dot, 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 my perspective, gives me the freedom to talk about everything up to that, up to those three words. Some people may say I need to stick to that last pick, that last sentence, but I'll get to that. Getting back to esoteric, was really cool when I, right before the very, so I changed sponsors and I went to this sponsorship family event and the very first one I went to, the first person that got to share, I don't see him in the room, so I'm not going to say his name. But it wasn't Richard. He's not in the room. But hey, man, Richard knows. But he shared on our symbol. And I was one that thought I fucking knew everything, right? I was one that was like, you know, I was being introduced to a new approach to recovery. Now, there's many ways to approach, it talks about it in our step working guide. There's many ways that we approach it, right? There are none that are better than the others. Many of them work. As long as we're working the Narcotics Anonymous 12 steps, we have a chance of recovery. But you shared on our symbol, and there were so many perspectives that were shared in that 1 hour that it blew my mind. Like, I was like, what in the world have I been missing? What I'd been missing was studying our symbol. Right, I mean, there's a lot of good information that just basically it intrigued me, because at that time I was, you know, I was thinking about leaving Narcotics Anonymous. It was midsummer of 2019, and you know, I had I just was losing interest again, right? And instead of smoking crack again, I decided to start looking for ways to change, right? And I talked to my sponsor about changing, and ended up changing sponsors, and anyway, it lit a fire in me, because I realized that, man, there's so much more for me to dive into with this program. And mind you, you know, just knowing the literature is not living our program, right? Our program is a set of principles written so simply we can follow them in our daily lives. We're trying to not use drugs to start with, abstinence, and then learn how to live by spiritual principles. The 12 steps and the principles contained within them, right? And so, but man, for me, keeping me interested, studying this literature has done just that. And then in the studying our literature has really, I don't know, man, something happens, man. You know, there's where our literature comes alive is something you'll see in places. And I believe that. You know, as I read and study our literature, it's just like something happens within me. And so going back to esoteric, at the very last paragraph it says, it's the four pyramid sides that rise from the base in a three-dimensional figure that represents self, society, service, and God. Pretty cool. Why do we say it like that? I don't know, is it because it's written like that? But then someone directed me, this isn't written anywhere, but self. Well, if I want to learn about self, I go to chapter 1. Who is an addict? If I want to learn about society, I go to chapter 2. What is a Narcotics Anonymous program? If I want to learn about service, I go to chapter 3. Why are we here? If I want to learn about God, I go to chapter 4, where the steps are, because it leads me to a relationship with the God of my understanding. So that's esoteric to me. It's like you can't, that you don't interpret that just by reading that sentence. I got to be communicated by people that came before me with more experience. Now, is it true? I mean, is that what the intent was? I don't know. Sounds pretty damn cool to me. I'll hang on to that, right? I'll repeat it too. And so the last sentence, and I'll do what I think was intended. Dwight, I think you intended just to talk about the last sentence. And the first part of it says the greater the base. And it's like, what do you mean, what's a base? Well, a base is a structure or entity on which something draws or depends. It's a foundation. Like, holy shit, that's important. You know, I've had shaky foundation in the past. I've had a crumbling foundation. I've had a cracked foundation, no pun intended. Maybe I did intend it, I don't know. But it says in the paragraph before that, it says the square whose lines are defined, easily seen and understood. The square whose lines are defined is easily seen and understood, but there are other unseen parts of the symbol. It says the square base denotes goodwill, the ground of both the fellowship and members of our society. Oh, Goodwill. Wait a second here. The square base is a foundation, and it denotes goodwill. I need to learn what the hell, what is goodwill? You know, the sarcastic person in me is like, it's not the place that takes our donations, no. I also go down rabbit holes, like, is it two words or one? You know, there's all kinds of ways to go down that. But I simply look up the word, and from this point forward, I can tell you, many of you knew me when I came to Narcotics Anonymous for the first time in Tulsa in 2012, and for many years I was arrogant, self-righteous, judgmental, told people what to do. Still might do that some, but I wasn't, to me, I wasn't practicing goodwill. Goodwill is friendly, helpful, or cooperative feelings or attitude. Goodness, kindness, and understanding. Like, I was not seeking to understand. I was wanting you to understand me. Like, you better understand what I got to say. Yeah. You know, being driven by the disease of addiction, self-centered, and all these character defects. And when I got to study your symbol, and I saw that the foundation, the square base, denoted goodwill, and that was the ground of both the fellowship and the members of our society. It's like, that's important. And then it goes on to say, you know, goodwill is best exemplified in service. So the best example of goodwill is being of service. And then it goes on to define proper service as doing the right thing for the right reason. Not the next right thing, the right thing, right? It says doing the right thing for the right reason. That's not the definition of goodwill, in my perspective. It's how you define proper service. Now, here's where it grabs me. It says, when goodwill supports and motivates the individual and the fellowship, we are fully whole and wholly free. So when we're all practicing goodwill, when we're standing on a base of goodwill, and we become fully whole, meaning we become united in our effort to carry our message. And from that point, then I can become entirely free, wholly free. We can become entirely free. But we all must be practicing goodwill. That's a challenge with people with the disease of addiction, like me, still today. I now have that as my compass, right? Trying to practice goodwill in everything I do. Once I started doing that, it's so crazy, man. I used to walk into a room and think everybody was looking at me, talking about me. They may have been because I was an asshole. But, oh shit, here he comes again, type of thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe. He talks about me every time I walk in our home group. That's a joke. My mind tells me that, right? But it's funny. Once I made the decision to start trying to be kind to people, try to be good to people, I knew I had it in me, even when I was high as 50 hippies. Man, I could, at Quick Trip, I was able to open the door for an older lady that was coming in multiple times. I've got it in me, man. You know what I mean? What's that? Higher video. Anyway. But once I started trying to practice goodwill, right, make it my foundation, the corners became more rounded, right? I didn't feel like that I was at odds with everybody around me. Like, I can't explain. It wasn't like I decided on a Tuesday to start being kind to everybody, and Wednesday I was didn't feel intimidated everywhere I went or you know, everything wasn't completely frightening, right? But the result was that, right? And it still is to this day. It's wild whenever the benefits that I'm starting to see now after years of trying to practice goodwill and just try to be kind regardless of what my mind is saying, regardless of what you're doing, right? Regardless if it's against my morals and values or your whatever. As long as I can just try to be kind, God bless, man. The connection is made with me. And to me, this is all about connection. Right? So it says the greater the base. So the more I practice goodwill, I don't know if you can measure it, but the more people I practice it on, let's say. Right? Then it moves on to this too. It says, comma, And then it starts off with in parentheses, as we grow in unity in numbers and in fellowship, right? So as we're all trying to carry our message, right? Unity in numbers, right? And we're all doing it together. Then it says the broader the sides of the pyramid, right? So that's self, society, service, and God, where I practice these principles, right? Where I'm in self. I mean, I don't want to dive too deep into that, but it's like, in order for the sides of the pyramid to grow, I must have more people in my life, right? In order for me to be able to practice these principles and make the sides of the pyramid grow, I must practice them equally as well. You know, if I'm literally just working on self, attending meetings by doing what is a Narcotics Anonymous program, but then not being of service. And then working steps, praying, meditating, all that. As my pyramid grows, it's going to crumble because it's going to become off center, right? And so I need to practice these equally. And it takes a long time, man. This isn't something I read about it and all of a sudden I'm able to do it successfully, right? This is something that's years and years and years in the making. And I'm still not very proficient, right? I think if you really want to get down to it, I think it's something I need to learn to do just for today. Because it talks about in our introduction that, hey, man, we haven't found a cure. What we have is a proven plan for daily recovery, right? And so just by working the steps one time doesn't mean that I'm able to really live that just for today. And that's why I keep coming back, too, is because, man, I got a lot to learn. Not only knowledge-wise, because knowledge, I mean, that's just one thing, right? I got to learn how to live this stuff, man. It's meaningless, as a matter of fact, unless I live it. That's what the 12 step says. So it says, the greater the base as we grow in unity in numbers and in fellowship, the broader the size of the pyramid, the higher the point of freedom. So the more I'm practicing goodwill, right, I start to expand that base. More people on my team, right, then the more people I can practice the principles with to increase the size of the sides of the pyramid, self, society, service, and God, right? The higher my point of freedom. Fortunately for me, I get to go to all these different cities, man. I choose to go to. I get to and I choose to. I'm all over the place. Why? I mean, we know people all over the place. I want my base to be so great. Like the number of people in Tulsa, in the eastern area, hey man, I want to go to different meetings, right? I want to do all that, but man, I want to go all kinds of places, right? Susan and I in October went to go celebrate 1 year anniversary and basically an actual honeymoon, and we went to a fucking meeting in Playa del Carmen. You talk about occult and esoteric, us having to walk through a construction zone in the middle of Playa del Carmen, going, they're about to get me. Because it's kind of dangerous in some places there. And the next thing you know, we see our symbol, right? And how cool is that, man? You know, you guys have been to, some of you have been to the World Convention, some of you have been to other places. It's just really, really cool to know that Narcotics Anonymous is much more than just Jimmy's place. It's much more than just recovery work group. It's much more than just peace of mind. It's much more than Northside Stroll. I can keep going on and on and on. Noontime, I mean, it's much more than that. It's awesome the fact that we do have groups, right? Because the group is the most powerful vehicle for carrying our message. You know, and so, but man, there's something to, there's such a wonderful feeling to be able to just go anywhere, find a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, see our symbol, and walk in and know what I'm getting into. You know what I mean? That's what studying our symbol and studying our literature has done for me, is just made me feel safe, man, no matter where I am. You know? Because for me, if I'm not going to meetings, I'm getting fucked up. I don't care how much clean time I got. I just, that's just my default. Right? And I'm not scared I'm going to get high today. Why? I'm surrounded by you all. But I know what reality is because of my experience. It is. So, you know, we start talking, I start talking about all this stuff and whatnot, but for anybody that's new or whatnot, just for today, you never have to use again. Our message is really simple. An addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Thank you for letting me share.
It's on.
Should be. Say, whoa,
girl. Well, recovering addict named Susie. Thank you, Jamie, for sharing and starting this off. Thank you to the committee for asking me to share on the symbol. I heard, well, somebody said I was knowledgeable, and I'm like, that is not true. Just for today, I'm learning. You know, when I started thinking about the symbol, I started, I wanted to know kind of the origin of a pyramid. And so the ancient Egyptians and Greeks would work tirelessly to build pyramids in order to protect themselves from the mastodons. And so when I put that in perspective in my life, and I think about the disease of addiction and the mastodon, right, the chaos that it caused in my life, and the complete dereliction and degradation and all of just the negative things that accompany the disease of addiction, it brings me to a humbling place where I am able to thank the God of my understanding for something as simple as our symbol. I too looked up the words and came up with pretty much the same definitions that Jamie did, with the exception of a cult. So on a cult, I found that it said supernatural, and which is important to me and my journey. Oh, thanks. Thank you, Jamie.
There you go.
And the reason why it's important to me in my journey is because I have the disease of addiction, and I can easily think that I'm sitting in this seat because of all of the things that I've done. And it's only by the grace of something way bigger than me and the program of Narcotics Anonymous that I didn't wake up and use today. It's only by the grace of something way bigger than me and the program of Narcotics Anonymous that I can interact with others socially, my children, my family, that I have a job, that I know that my bills are due and I can pay them, right? Like all of these things, you know, the power is not within me. It is within me, but it doesn't come from me, if that makes any sense. And that's important for me to get with, because I'm very egotistical and I'm very self-righteous, and please don't tell me that I know something, okay? Because I already knew that, right? And so whenever I was reading about the symbol and the point of freedom, you know, and I love that point of freedom, because it takes me back to all the different times in our literature that it talks about the self-made prisons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an addict in recovery, my self-made prison looks a lot different today than it did the day I got here. If I'm not careful, I will lock myself up in a self-made prison today with clean time. And so I have, right, the experience of that. And so with that experience, if I have the experience that I will stay locked in self-centered fear, what are the things that I can do as an addict in recovery to combat that, and I think that's where the symbol comes in for me. Self, society, God, goodwill, all of those things. And so when I think about the symbol, I want to connect it for me to Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. This lady knows it. What's your name?
Sandra.
Welcome, Sandra. Glad you're here. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. The longer I'm here, the more I think I know something, and the more I think I know something, the more I start to believe that people should listen to what I have to say. Right? I'm showing up. Don't you know who I think I am? Look at me. Look at me. It's all about me, even with clean time. Right? The Living Clean says that the spiritual principles can sustain or destroy us. Like, I can hide behind some spiritual principles and kind of portray myself as somebody that I'm not, right? In order to get other people to think of me in a particular way. And so, you know, when I go to Tradition 12 and I think about anonymity, that no matter how long I've been here, no matter what my role is in society, no matter how many sponsees I have, no matter what is going on, ultimately, none of that matters. All that matters is that I'm an addict in recovery, and because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I found a new way to live, and it is my duty to be able to share that with the addict that comes in. Serving is a spirit of selflessness and humility. Serving in a spirit of selflessness and humility can be challenging, but it's good for us and good for the service we do. The process of surrender will drive us to the steps probably more than once. When I think about selfless service, and I go back to what Jamie was saying about goodwill, it's not about just goodwill on the H&I panel. It's not about just selfless service, you know what I mean, at my home group. It's not for me. It's not about just, you know what I mean? Am I, all of those things matter. Please don't think that I'm like saying that that's not enough. For me, I have to be of service everywhere that I go, because the disease of addiction lives in my thinking. And if I'm not careful, I will con myself into believing that somebody owes me something. And the way that I can combat that, the way that I can stay in the recovery process, is by going back to my symbol. And it says in there, it says that the circle, there's enough room in the circle for all. Yes. For all manifestations. Right? That's what it says. The outer circle denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of the recovering person. It has room in it for all of the chronic relapsers. It has room in it for all of the people that are acting out on, all of us that are acting out on character defects, even though we've been here for years. Right, it has enough room in it for anybody that used any way, that walked any path, that didn't use as much dope as me, that didn't use the same way. Then it has room in it for all of those things. And if I practice anonymity, and the only thing that matters to me is doing the right thing for the right reason and carrying a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous, then I'm going to be welcoming to all of these people. And for me, the program of Narcotics Anonymous absolutely works in my life, and a miracle day after day that I wake up and I don't use, I am a miracle that I can interact with my children in a loving, kind way. That is a miracle, right? But the fact of the matter is that the people,
We need to keep getting people to come here. We want people to keep coming here. We want the miracle to stay alive. And so when I think about the broader the base and the higher the point of freedom, and I think about those self-made prisons, and I think about the individual that's been here a while that maybe is struggling by themselves, and they're not normally in my friend group, but I see them alone, do I go out of my way to welcome them, or do I pretend like they're not there? Am I doing the right thing for the right reason, or am I more concerned about how I look that I won't put myself out there? And so that brings me back to anonymity. Doesn't matter, man. Doesn't matter who the hell I think I am. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is just for today, I've been given a daily reprieve against the disease of addiction that will completely destroy and annihilate my life and the lives of the people around me, and then it will kill me and spit in their face. And I have a duty to make sure that anybody that's struggling with the same disease has the opportunities that I've had. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jamie and Susie.
Circle up.
So.
Just kidding. Sorry, dear. Can we use this one? Oh, he's just probably turned it down. He just turned it off or down, so for feedback.
Okay, so at this time, we're going to see if anybody... At this time, we're going to see if anybody has any questions for either Jamie or Susie about our symbol.
Raise your hand. She'll bring you the mic.
I'll bring you the mic if you have any questions.
Don't let them off this easy.
No.
Wait. I think I counted that one.
What do you got?
So, why is it important for a newcomer to study our symbol?
Never heard answers and grabbed my
great question.
And repeat the question, please.
So, Dwight asked, why is it important that a newcomer study our symbol? I'm going to go ahead and just say it's important that anybody seeking to understand our program study our symbol, and only because of my experience of being in Narcotics Anonymous for years and just skipping past our symbol, the prefaces, introduction, who, what, and why, and jumping straight into a first step, right? I did that, and that worked for a while for me until I then started off on our symbol, and have that's how I work steps now. And so I can only share my personal experience and what it's done for me, and that is it's helped me understand in a clear way. I mean, it's not like all of our program is contained within our symbol. That's a crazy statement, but the more I stay here and the more I learn, the more I believe it. And yes, I probably could have been taught how to treat people and all that other stuff. I was taught, didn't hear it, whatnot for many, many years. But something happened when I looked up the definition of goodwill. Something happened when I saw that it was the foundation on which I needed to stand on. The practicality was I started trying to treat people differently. Started trying to treat them, seeking to understand them rather than me be understood. I started trying to treat people with kindness, right? So why is it important? I can only answer for me, man. And I can just tell you, it changed the way that I approached my life. You know, in my job, I'm in a place that if I tried to walk around treating people like I did when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I never would have gotten the position that I'm in now. Right? It's only because of Narcotics Anonymous that I'm able to to be in the position that I'm in, leading others and being able to treat them with a spiritual posture of goodwill, so that way they're proud to call me their supervisor, their director, or whatever. You know what I mean? So that's just for me. I can't answer for anybody else. You know what I mean? So thanks.
Thanks,
Sammy.
Thanks,
Sammy.
She's got one.
Okay. Oh, nice. She could walk around her.
I feel like I need a tiny hand.
Blue shirt? Yeah. You raise your hand.
No.
If you was in the boxing, you would just boss up.
I have one.
I did not raise my hand.
I had a question. There was something that you mentioned when you were reading about there's room enough in the program for all manifestations. Our predecessors chose to use the word recovering person. Do you have any experience in your studies with that?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Do I have any experience with being in recovery and the disease of addiction manifesting itself in many ways?
No. Why did they choose to use the word person rather than recovering addict?
That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe Jamie knows.
Because it's one person.
So, I don't know about, I know Jamie does, but I can tell you my perspective, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. My belief is that if I start to read our literature, you know, the outer circle, it denotes a universal and total program that has room within it for all manifestations of a recovering person, right? There are some people that come to our fellowship, to open meetings and whatnot, that don't know they're an addict. It's really that simple, right? And if you want to get more technical, our symbol occurs before chapter one, where I have to answer the question, am I an addict, right? So we're not trying to, because the reality is if it was me, I came to Narcotics Anonymous with this definition of addict, mm-hmm. of a person who lived underneath the bridge with a needle hanging out of their arm. Something I made up for myself. That was misinformation that I told myself about the disease of addiction, so I didn't have to be the addict. So I could continue to do what I was doing, you know? And in the end, it's like, well, I'm not an addict, so I don't need to come. You know, so I believe, and the reality is I don't know in 1982 when they released the first version of a basic text, right? So they wrote it in 82, released it, I think, the first time in 83. I don't know what they were thinking. I do know that I've heard from many predecessors that perspective, that it's to not exclude anybody. So that way, people can then determine for themselves, am I an addict? Which happens later on. Right? So.
Good answer.
Thank you, Jamie. Does anybody else have any questions?
I have a question.
I'm Becky, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Becky.
Well, and I must be a slow learner or something, because it didn't make sense to me for a while, a few years into recovery. And that could just be me. A lot of the readings didn't make sense. So I was, you know, a few years into recovery, and I don't think I even noticed the symbol in a 3D way. It was always flat. And I always tell new people not to get discouraged by that, because we put too much pressure on ourselves to know all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we get ourselves in trouble doing that. So I was just curious. I would say it was probably 4 years of recovery before I even started clicking and making sense of what that symbol meant. Mm-hmm. So if anyone else has any examples like that.
Same, Becky. You're not alone.
Yeah.
I didn't think so. It was a few years before I worked the symbol. The one thing that stood out to me with the symbol from the beginning was the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom.
The greater.
Sorry. Dang. The greater the base, the higher the point of freedom. So, and that's what I was looking for when I got here. Freedom.
That's good. You know, I sit there and I think about our symbol and kind of Narcotics Anonymous as a fellowship. Like we, you'll hear people talk about the other fellowship, grandfather fellowship, the liquid bullshit. It's all, they are Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. It says in our introduction, we are grateful for them. Right. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous because we took their program and adapted it. We changed it to fit the disease of addiction concept, right? We are a fellowship in a program that stands on its own two feet. We have our own symbol. Like it. Not only do we have our own symbol, like, okay, when you're driving down the road and you see that M, that yellow M, yeah. You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's a symbol. Right? Hell, they're starting to remove the word on a lot of their locations. It just has their symbol.
The arches.
Right? They're just the arches, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
The swoosh. That's a fucking symbol. Y'all know what that is, right?
That's what's up.
Alan, the Mercedes-Benz symbol. I mean, like we can go on and on and on. When you start to look at a symbol, you kind of understand what it means because of experience. Mm. My mouth waters when I see the damn golden arches. I love those little cheeseburgers. I don't care if they're bad for me or not.
Yeah.
I know a Mercedes. I know that symbol means, hey, man, this is going to be a smooth driving vehicle. You know, Nikes, I don't wear them because they're too thin for my wide feet. But I know what it means. Right? There's a lot of symbols. Well, Narcotics Anonymous, I've explained, what does it really mean? When I see our symbol, it means something. We are something. We're not just a group of druggies. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. You know what I mean? Our symbol, we are legit, man.
Hey, we're not
stepchildren from another. What? We are our own program, our own fellowship. And our symbol, it should be here. Our symbol just kind of backs that up, man.
Yeah, that's right.
And for me, it makes me proud to be part of something like this. We're more than just a circle and a square.
That's right, baby.
We're a lot more than that. But by studying it and living it, I can see it and have all of those feelings surface that makes me want to carry our message and live the Narcotics Anonymous way.
Thank you.
Good job,
Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
I like what you said when you had talked about being out of the country and looking for the symbol, and I was in Panama last December, and I had a great time while I was there, but I happened to ride down the street and I saw the symbol in the recovery club, and that was the first time that I felt like I was home. And I understand, I got super excited. I didn't get a chance to go to the meeting, but just knowing that it was there made me safe.
Yeah.
My question is, and it's probably, I don't know, I don't want to be controversial now, but a lot of home groups, when they start the readings and stuff, some of them, I'm not saying a lot, but some of them, they'll go ahead and go into chapter one, but they won't start from in the beginning of the book with the symbol. And I think it's a disservice to the newcomer not to know what our symbol is. So I just want to ask, how do you feel about that? You know, I mean, I know that we have the autonomy of the group and everything like that, but I think it's
necessary. Can you say that one more time? I got a little bit lost.
I said,
I can hear
how
you.
How do you feel about that, like when most home groups don't start with the symbol in the beginning of the book? And actually, the disservice is there's a little section right in the beginning of the basic text. It says, if you found this book, give yourself a break and read it.
Right.
Some of us don't even know that. Newcomers don't even know that part.
Hey.
You know, so I was just curious about what your thoughts is about how we give the newcomer a disservice and not knowing what the symbol is.
Group autonomy. It's not my responsibility to have any kind of opinion on how a group handles their meeting. As long as it's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting reading out of Narcotics Anonymous literature, right? And it's okay if they don't, right? That's how I got it. Because why? When I first got here, I was judgmental as you can possibly imagine about how groups ran their group, right? So much that I had resentments all over the place. And when I needed to go somewhere else besides my home group, I didn't have anywhere to go because I had created these resentments all over the place. So I decided to go get high instead, right? So it's important for me to allow people, just allow groups to be autonomous. It's important. Anyway.
Thanks, Jamie. Does anybody else have a question?
Sorry.
Well, I do.
Oh, good. Awesome. Susan does.
So, like, I don't know if y'all can tell, I'm super uncomfortable, but I've been trying to branch out in service, and that's why I got on the committee this year and for hospitality.
Yeah.
And because before, I'd done a camp out or two, you know, chair meetings, made coffee, you know, but I wanted to do something kind of bigger, and I'd like to broaden my base, so to speak. Do you have any other advice about broadening your base whenever you're, like, really nervous, kind of introverted, and, you know, I just need to make myself say hi to people, I guess? Do you have any other suggestions?
My only suggestion is prayer.
Thank you. That's what my sponsor would say.
Sherry. Hey, listen, sharing that you're nervous in a group setting.
Use your mic.
Do I need to use the mic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sharing. You two as individuals, do you really think that 2015 was the best year to get clean?
Woo! Yeah.
I support it. Well, I thought it was 2011 first. Twice.
Twice.
Sharing about how I'm feeling in a group setting, especially like I'm uncomfortable coming up and talking to people. Well, one, it relieves me, right, of that burden that the disease of addiction holding me hostage, right? But it also, people will realize that and they'll come talk to me. So doing what you're doing is, that's great. So
good answer. You're doing a great job, Samantha.
Thank you. Frankie?
Alright, jam them up. I know they do.
Hey, did anybody see Frankie in the tutu? Good. God bless you.
Yeah.
Take a lap.
Out-sit.
Come on now.
Hey, Dwight addict.
Share your experience.
We got time for that one. It's more of a comment, like that word esoteric.
Hell yeah.
Like, I remember getting an assignment to write our symbol freaking 22 years ago when I was in and out of these rooms, right? And I got something out of it back then. And it was like 13 years clean before I asked Jamie to sponsor me for a while. And I just wanted to say, like, I learned more working with you on the literature.
Oh, yeah.
Those couple of years that I had known from all those prior years of experience, you know. Probably about 25 out of the last 35 years of experience, but like esoteric to me is like you can always study something to get a deeper understanding. You know, it doesn't mean just a select few can ever get it. It's just like sometimes you gotta work at it and look at it again more and more. So that was just my perspective. I wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
For all your time.
Thank you, guys.
And you too.
Well, I think it's important too to remember that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
That's right. Come on, Buck.
So, you know what I'm saying? If you have studied the symbol and you didn't get much out of it, that's quite all right. Try it again, right? And the teacher maybe isn't always necessarily an individual as much as it is an experience.
Yes.
Thank you, Susie and Jamie.
That's good.
Yeah.
We done?
All right.
Yay! Thank you all.